Good morning. Good to have Sister Irene back with us. We miss you. Earlene is hurting. Remember her. All right, let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father in heaven, thank you so much. Thank you for this day. Thank you for everything. Truly, every good and perfect gift comes down from you, our Father in heaven. So merciful, so gracious, so loving. Your loving kindness, your goodness. How we thank you. Thank you for this day, the Lord's day. You gathered us together. You have made us willing. The day of your power, your word. That's written in our hearts. And urges us, and exhorts us to meet together, to worship. We need this, Lord. We need you. We need to hear from you. We need to worship you. It's our reasonable service, but it's our heart's desire that we might worship in our prayer to God. We ask, O Lord, you enable us today to worship you from the heart, not with the lips, but the heart. We have innumerable reasons to worship you, the greatest of which is this, the gospel, that you've made yourself known to us. You have not done that with so many. The world doesn't know you. But we know you by your grace. And we thank you. Thank you. There are others, Lord, our children and others that don't know thee. And we ask if it can be pleasing to thee, according to your will, that you would reveal yourself to them, all of them. It's not hard, not difficult, if it's your will to save every single one of our children and grandchildren. We ask great things of our great God, for thou art great. Your works are great. So great is salvation. And this is a good day, and we thank you for bringing us. Now make us attentive. Make us like little children who receive the word. Give us a hunger and a thirst for it. Build us up on Christ the rock. This most holy faith, faith delivered to the saints, faith of God's elect, those who have obtained like precious faith. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for your son. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We give thanks. And Lord, we thank you for answered prayer. Thank you for when we pray to you that we're blessed to heal. And you do. We thank you. We ask your hand upon Earlene that you would raise her up and comfort her. Through all these trials for all of your people, may we understand that these things, fiery trials, yet they're unto praise, honor, and glory. Thy praise, thy honor, and thy glory. May we honor you when we go through these things, attributing all things to you, knowing your grace is sufficient. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us. Restrain us from evil. Let us present our bodies as living sacrifices unto thee. Bless your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Peter 2. We begin with verse 11. 1 Peter 2:11. He says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you." That's a loving, tender term, isn't it? Dearly beloved. What a loving, tender appeal to God's people. This is not just Peter writing, but it is our Father in heaven. Throughout the Proverbs, don't you love the Proverbs? And so many times he says, my son, listen to me, my son, heed my word, my son. Don't you love that? This is the goodness of God, the word of God, instructions of our Lord to his children. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of God, the love of God, and the mercy of God that restrains us from evil. He says in verse 11, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims that you abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Strangers and pilgrims. God's people are in this world, but they're not of it. Our Lord said that in his prayer to the Father. He said that two or three times, didn't he? He said, they're not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. He said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from it. Keep them from it. Look at Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. And John, the apostle, wrote in 1 John, he said, let me read it to you while you're turning there. 1 John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and he says this is what the world is all about. This is all the world cares for. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father. That's the world. So look at Romans 12. I beseech you, verse 1, I beseech you. Paul uses the same language. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Don't look like it. Don't act like it. Don't walk with it. There's another scripture our Lord says, come out from among them. Be separate. Our Lord was. He says he was holy, harmless, separate from sinner. That doesn't mean we're to separate ourselves literally, physically. We can't do it. We live there. We work in it. So, but you can't have fellowship. You can't walk with the world. Can two walk together except that they agree? How can light have fellowship with darkness? You say, well, how can we witness to the world? Well, Paul said that in Ephesians 5, light reproveth. And unless we're doing that, we're being silent. There's only one way you can walk with the world, and that's to be silent. Right? Right? That's just so. So he says, be not conformed, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In 1 Thessalonians 4, he said, this is the will of God, your sanctification. So back to our text. Our Lord said that. The world, this present evil world, all that's in the world. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And our Lord said of his people, he prayed, keep them from it. So here in our text, Peter says, I beseech you as strangers. See that? Strangers and pilgrims. Strangers. That you abstain from these fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Fight against them, mortify your members, and so forth. These things war against our soul. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That which is flesh is flesh. Flesh wants one thing. How do we deny the flesh? Well, you don't feed it, and you don't go, and you don't mingle with the world, or else they have everything that appeals to your old man. The believer has nothing that appeals to the world. So it's not, you're not going to rub off on them. But vice versa. Vice versa. So this is the principle taught throughout the scriptures. Have your companions, those that fear God, your associates, your fellowship. You cannot have fellowship with the world. You can't do it.
All right.
So he says, these things war against the soul. They do, don't they? It's a constant battle, a struggle, a fight within every believer. If there's no war, there's no new creature. There was a time when there was no war, no battle going on with you. We were in the world. We're dead in sin. But God, a new creature. All right. Notice at the top of the page, the very top of this King James Bible says, concerning the duties of subjects, servants, wives, and husbands. See that? And that's what this is all about. Duty. I have no problem with the word duty. All the old writers use that. Duty means what's required of you. Is there anything required of us? Absolutely. Our Lord God doesn't give advice. He gives commands. And our Lord Jesus Christ gave commands. And his commands are not grievous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. The way of the transgressor is hard. But if you be willing and obedient, our Lord said, you'll eat the good of the land. You know that doesn't mean you're going to earn heaven if by your obedience. Do I have to say that? Well, I just did. I'm not going to say it again. What am I? All right, but that's what he's dealing with here. And read on. It says, having your conversation, verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, upright, honest, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. The early church, when Christianity, when Christ came, they accused Christ of breaking the law. They accused Christ of breaking the law. He lived perfectly according to the law. They just didn't know God. They didn't understand it. They pretended to, but they were breaking it. But they accused our Lord of breaking the law. He wasn't breaking the law. And our Lord said, they hated me, they'll hate you. They accused me, they'll accuse you. And this was the charge against Christianity. They're a bunch of lawless people. They don't believe in the law of Moses, and they don't believe in the laws of the land. That's just not so. It's not so. God's people are the most upright, honest. They're the only ones on this earth that are upright and honest, that you can really trust. The only ones. Is that right? That's what our Lord said. They're the salt of the earth. The whole world is not worthy of God's people. So they accused the early church then and now, even, not so much now, but then, of being lawless, disobedient children. Now, you remember how this disobedient citizen, you remember how this all started? It says, Peter says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts, as he which is holy, be like your father, be like your father in this world, like Christ. That's what he said, be like Christ. And God, you know, we were children of wrath, even as others. Children of disobedience. But God. But God puts this new creature in his people, like Christ, in the image of Christ. And he's an honest person. That old man is dishonest. He's evil. He's sinful. But that new man is just like Christ. But the world can't see him. The world can't. So he says, here's my pastor's comments on it. Conduct yourselves before your family, your fellow workers, your neighbors, your friends in an honest, righteous, and loving manner so that even though they speak of you as fanatics, radicals, hypocrite, when a real trial, this is visitation, is put upon you, and God visits you and them with affliction and trouble, they must admit they're different. These people are different. They're glorifying God. They're not murmuring. They're not complaining. They're not finding fault. They're not rebelling. They're not protesting. They're submitting. Submitting. Read on. It says, verse 13, submit. Now remember Ephesians 5, I told you to read that, hear that message by my pastor. And I bring him up all the time, don't I? He being dead yet speaketh to my heart. He was my pastor, still is. And talked about submission being the secret of happiness from Ephesians 5. Submit yourself. Submit every ordinance of man. Read on. Every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by God for the punishment of evil doers. Now that's a vital word right there. God in His mercy and grace has put us and His people, for the most part, under civil authority, under some laws that came from God's law. What mercy that we don't live in a communist country. What great mercy. And this nation was somewhat founded on the biblical principles, wasn't it? Somewhat founded. We're certainly getting away from that. But they did in the beginning call it one nation under God. And what mercy and what grace. And it says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or unto the governors or mayor or whoever it may be. They're sent by God for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. Now look down at chapter 3, verse 13. It says, who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? You do what's right. The police and all the authority is not, the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the punishment of evil doers in a civilized society. Okay. So it says, who will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But look at the next verse. If you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of their terror. They'd be troubled. And down in verse 16 of chapter 3, it says, they having a good conscience, that is toward God, they speak evil of you as evildoers. They will shame and falsely accuse your good conversation. It's better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evildoing. All right, it goes without saying that we are not to obey any laws of man that contradict the law of God. Right? It was Simon Peter himself who said it not once but twice when the authorities said refused for him to preach and for the people to meet together. He said, you judge, is it right to obey man or God? He says, we ought to obey God rather than man. The ordinances of God take precedent, take priority, take preeminence, don't they? And when man's ordinances go against God's ordinance, we ought to obey God rather than man. Let me give you a few scenarios. There was a woman who had she was clerk at a courthouse in Kentucky, and two homosexuals came in and wanted a marriage license. And this woman claimed to be a believer. She said, I can't do it. They fired her. Will God honor that? There was a man who had a bake shop. He baked wedding cakes, like Margaret used to bake wedding cakes. A homosexual couple came in and wanted him to bake a wedding cake for them. He claimed to be a Christian. He said, I can't do it. They shut his shop down. Would you do it, Margaret? We ought to obey God rather than man. Anything that goes against God's revealed will, we can't do it. Uh-uh. They say, forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Uh-uh. Mm-mm. We ought to obey God rather than man. Right? That's suffering for well-doing. What are we doing here? Is this well-doing? Is this a good work? Is this God's ordinance? This is God's command. This is what God tells us to do. Absolute. Cannot. We will not. Be ordered by the government as to how we can worship our God. Can't do it.
All right. Now, who would have thought the persecution would come in the manner that it has? God moves in a mysterious way, doesn't it? Brothers and sisters, it is a hate crime now to speak out against homosexuality. And all. It's a hate crime now. Should I stop? Can't do it. Can't do it. This is speaking of the civil laws that go under the law of God, and we submit to all authority as unto the Lord. Now, read on. It says in verse 16, we're free. We're not using our liberty for a cloak of maliciousness as a servant of God. I don't have to obey you. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. There's no power, Romans 13 says, but of God. And he that resisteth, resisteth the power. We're free, but not using this liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. You know, we're free from the law. But if we have liberty, we have it to ourselves. We need to be conscious of what we're doing around other people. No. As servants of God. Verse 17. Honor all men. Honor all. Love the brotherhood. It's a sad day in which we live, and it's proof of the last day when everybody down to little children is mocking and making fun of the President of the United States. Yeah. That's a sign of the times we live in. That was unheard of 50 or 60 years ago. Didn't matter how much you disliked the rulers of the land, you would not, in respect to that office. You may not like the man, but in respect to that office which God has ordained, you respect him. Now I remind you who Peter was living under. Caesar. Caesar. And Nero, Paul's under Nero. By the way, they told him, quit preaching. The law said, quit preaching, you can't do it. Finally, they killed him. Happy. Suffered for righteousness' sake. Can't do that. Can't quit preaching. Bunyan. 2,000 men were ejected from their pulpits back in the 1600s for not signing a government writ and command. They assign a certain doctrine, all get in line with what the government has prescribed. 2,000 men said, not going to do it. Kicked out of the churches. But we honor the laws of the land that are not in conflict with the laws of God. Look at chapter 3. You wives, be in subjection to your husbands, if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. What if the wife tells her husband, or the husband tells her wife, the unbelieving husband says, I refuse for you to go worship God today. What's she to do? I ought to obey God rather than man.
That's right.
You're married to Jesus Christ, not that man, when it comes to the worship of God. Right? So you see, this goes without saying. Can't answer every argument of man, or the Bible would be this thick. It goes without saying. This principle, the scriptures laid down. But we honor, we fear God, we honor the king. Honor the king. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den for praying when they told him, don't do it. Right? And when the king came to the lion's den and said, oh, Daniel, are you okay? He said, oh, king. Even though that man put him in prison, he called him king. Now that's an honorable man. O king, my God is able. He hath delivered me. God's people are truly the most honest and honorable and submissive civilians in the land. They're just the best. They're the best employees. Verse 18, that's what this speaks of. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only fear of who? Them? No. Not fear man. Fear toward God. Be Spirit of God. Look at chapter 3 again. It says that Sarah, verse 6, obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, small L, whose daughters are you, you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. In other words, you shouldn't be afraid of your husband. You shouldn't fear any man in that respect. You fear God. And what you do is in fear of God and reverence toward God and respect and honor to God. You're in submission. But if that man tells you, or whoever, to dishonor God, can't do it. Can't do it. No. So, it says, servants, be subject to your masters, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. Thankfully, the Lord often gives us favor in the sight of the Egyptians. I've had some good employees down to the path, but I've had some bad ones. I've had some bad ones, and you have too. Bad men and women. What should you do? Well, submit. Submit. God's people are company men. You know that? They're company men. I realize God gave me this job. I work for this company. I serve the best interests of this company, not my own interests. Interest this kind. Right? That's right. That's the way God's people. This is thankworthy. Verse 19. If a man for conscience toward God, that's what we do. Endure grief and suffering wrongfully. What glory is it, verse 20, if you be buffeted for your faults? You take it patiently. Rebellion and bad attitude and so forth, you're going to suffer. But that's not thankworthy. But when you do well and suffer for it and take it patiently, this is acceptable. This is commendable to God. And then he uses our Lord as an example. And he says in verse 21, hereunto were you called to suffer. Remember, Paul wrote in Philippians, it's given unto you not only to believe, but to what? Suffer. For what? The truth's sake. For Christ's sake, the cause of God and truth. So we're going to. Our Lord promised it. You shall suffer. And he did. He did. As I said, there was never a law-abiding citizen more than the Lord himself. Do you know what injustices? He saw it all. He heard it all. See, his kingdom was not of this world, so he didn't fight for it. He didn't fight against it. He didn't tell his servants to rebel against authority. We've got to change this world. No. He came to change men's hearts. Right. He came with a spiritual kingdom in mind. And that's us. We're not fighting for the rights of man. We're not in all these political causes. No, our cause is Christ. It is now. It is. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this mind. We're in a war, all right, but it's a spiritual warfare. So we don't, we're not taken up with the causes in this world. Our Lord was. But he was law-abiding, law-keeping. And verse 21 says, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. Some men don't like the word example. It came out of false religion, and that's all they talked about is Christ, your example, Christ, your example. Well, I love it. He is my example, isn't he? He's the pattern, isn't he? I want to be just like him. He's my example. He's my Lord. He's my substitute, and he's my example. I don't know how to act. I don't know how to think. I don't know how to walk. Well, I look to him. I not only look to him for all my salvation and all my strength and everything, all my instruction, but I look at him. I watch him. I observe him as to how I ought to act. Is that good? They say emulation is the sincerest form of flattery. That's my word. Sincerest form of love. Emulation is the sincerest form of love. I've told you. And I don't mind telling you again, my oldest brother was just a model citizen and a model son and a believer. And I just loved everything about him. I wanted to grow up and be just like him. And I used to watch him as a little boy. Whatever he did, I did. I just watched him, and I'd do it. I got to where I would sit at the chair, sit just like him, walk like him. I wanted to be just like him in every single way. Well, he was my example. He was a good example. You got a problem with example? Then you got a problem with God's Word. He's our example. Read on. He did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Oh, my. Buddy, that describes this world, doesn't it? Full of sin and guile. Nobody you can trust. Our Lord was trustworthy, and so are his people. They are. Who, when verse 23, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Now here's a wonderful, wonderful line. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. Our Lord lived as a man for us under the law. Though he wrote the law, he put himself under it. Law's bondage. But he put himself under that law. And he put himself under bad governments. That's something. But he lived as a man, lived by faith, and he committed himself, everything, to him that judges righteously. In verse 24, and then what did they do to our Lord? They killed him. The authorities killed him. The government killed him. Religion killed him. Who his own self. Why? Why did he do this? In the purpose and will of God to bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Our Lord was made sin. He took on himself, in himself, the sins of all of God's people to Calvary's tree, cursed. The law is a curse. He was under the curse. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Well, he hung on a tree. They lynched our Lord. And it was God's will. That we being dead to sins. Now here it is. Here's the motive. What Christ did for us. It's our motive to live unto righteousness. By whose stripes they beat him unmercifully. That's awful, isn't it? There's one of the Psalms. The Psalm we quoted more than any scripture. The Psalm. David wrote in inspiration of the Spirit, said, I gave my back to the smiters. The Lord took a back, a man's back, to be whipped. Because the law should have whipped us. God should have whipped us. He whipped us and he said, I gave my back to the smiter. My cheeks, he took a face to pluck out his beard. His head, he gave his head that they might crown him with a crown. But oh, what a crown. Thorns. Adam and Eve, because of sin, thorns and thistles. Our Lord, as the second Adam from above, was crowned with thorns. And lived in this world under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Had a back to be whipped. Had cheeks to be plucked. Had hands to be pierced. And feet to be pierced. Blood to shed for the remission of our sin. Isn't he merciful? Isn't it wonderful? By whose stripes you're healed. The law, the rod of God's wrath and judgment and justice whipped our Lord in our place. And that rod, there's no more rod, no more wrath, no more judgment. And here it is, for you were a sheep going astray. You see, dead in trespass and sin, children of disobedience, even as others, children of wrath, even as others, but God, but art now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. God's people are his sheep. They're goats and they're sheep. And sheep must gather to the shepherd. Sheep must feed upon the shepherd. Sheep must follow their shepherd's footsteps. They must. They do. They shall. And they shall suffer just like him to the glory of God. Amen. Okay.